Some thoughts on fasting. Matthew 6. And verse 1 to begin with. Take heed that you do not your arms before men to be seen of them. Otherwise ye have no reward of your Father which is in heaven. Therefore, when thou doest thine alms, do not sound a trumpet before thee, as the hypocrites do in the synagogues and in the streets, that they may have glory of men. Verily, I say unto you, they have their reward. Then verse 5, and when thou prayest, thou shalt not be as the hypocrites are, for they love to pray, standing in the synagogues and in the corners of the streets, that they may be seen of men. Verily, I say unto you, they have their reward. And then verse 16, moreover, when ye fast, be not as the hypocrites of a sad countenance, for they disfigure their faces, that they may appear unto men to fast. Verily, I say unto you, they have their reward. So here we are at the Sermon on the Mount. And verse 16, moreover, when ye fast, be not as the hypocrites of a sad countenance when ye fast. And we looked last week, we began looking at this subject of biblical fasting, and we looked at basically we had an overview of what fasting is, what biblical fasting is, and what it is not. We looked at some history and some different things, and we looked at the biblical definition, or a definition of fasting. Is biblical fasting is the free will practice of abstaining from food and all the pleasantries of life for the purpose of devoting oneself to God and concentrating on spiritual goals, particularly the goal of defeating spiritual enemies and overcoming the lusts of the flesh. And we all have those battles if we're saved and we're a child of God and we're seeking to live a life of victory and obedience in the Lord. We're going to come up against those enemies and we're going to face them. And there's only one biblical way of overcoming them, and that sometimes it only comes about through prayer and fasting. And so today, we're going to just look very briefly, not very long today, but we're going to look at the thought of when to fast. When to fast. And that may seem like a broad subject, but I'm not meaning, and you'll understand when I get into it, I'm not meaning why to fast and the different circumstances to fast in, but when is the biblical time period to fast? When should we fast? And so if you have a look with me, Matthew 6 and verse 16, moreover, when ye fast, be not as the hypocrites of a sad countenance, for they disfigure their faces that they may appear unto men to fast. And we looked here last week as well, and we'll just briefly touch on it again this afternoon, that we understand that Christians pray, and we understand that Christians give, and that's just, they're foundational things. That's what Christians do. We give and we pray, but we also fast. Biblically, if you look through the Bible, Christians not only give in verse 2, but Christians also pray in verse 5, and then down here in verse 16, Christians also fast. They seek to discipline the flesh, subdue the flesh, and the pleasantries of the flesh, and seek to bring it under control for the purpose of spiritual benefit. Now, it's clearly stated that. And I pointed this out last week, and I'm going over myself a little bit, but it says when ye fast. It does not say if. And so, being a Christian, giving is not optional. Praying is not optional. And fasting is not optional. It's a given. God expects, if you're a Christian, that you give, you pray, and you fast. That you're involved in those three things as a Christian. It's not optional. It's a given that's what happens. It's a part of your life. Now, I want you to notice this, that it's not who he's addressing here. He's not addressing a room full or a mountainside full of pastors, preachers, deacons, Sunday school teachers, elders, and missionaries. He's addressing a mixed multitude of believers. So what do we learn out of that? Well, fast giving, praying and fasting is for everybody, not just for a select few. It's something that all Christians ought to be involved in. Have a look in Matthew chapter 5 and verse 1. We just see the group that's here. And seeing the multitudes, he went up in the mountain, and when he was set, his disciples came unto him, and he opened his mouth. So there's a great multitude here, and amongst that multitude is his disciples as well. And then go to chapter 8 and verse 1. At the close, and when he was come down from the mount, great multitudes followed him. And behold, there came a leper and worshipped him, and so on. There was the disciples in amongst, but there was also a great multitude of people. There was all sorts of people there. It wasn't just giving, praying, and fasting is not for a select few. It's for all Christians, right? So when do we pray? When you're a Christian. When do you give? When you're a Christian. When do you fast? When you're a Christian. If you're a Christian, if you're a child of God, you ought to be involved in that. That's the time to be involved in praying, giving, and fasting. When do we fast? Is when we're a Christian, when we're saved. Now, there's two times the Lord Jesus specifically addresses the subject of fasting. Here, the Sermon on the Mount is one of them. He only addresses it twice. Once here on the Sermon on the Mount, and then go to chapter 9. This is the second time he addresses the doctrine or the teaching of fasting. Now, all the Bible is important. Every bit of it's inspired of God. And whether it was the Lord Jesus speaking or whether it was Paul or Timothy, it's all important, right? But, you know, when we're looking at the Lord Jesus and he's our ultimate example, he's our Lord, our Saviour, our Master, if he's addressing a subject, we certainly ought to glean from what he's got to say, shouldn't we? And he addresses the subject of fasting twice. Firstly, in Matthew chapter 6, and he took it for granted, more or less, that if they were his disciples, if they were Christians, that they were fasting. They were praying, they were giving, and they were fasting. But now here, notice chapter 9 and verse 14. Then came to him the disciples of John, saying, "Why do we and the Pharisees fast oft, but thy disciples fast not?" And Jesus said unto them, "Can the children of the bridegroom mourn as long as the bridegroom is with them? But the days will come when the bridegroom shall be taken from them, and then shall they fast. No man putteth a piece of new cloth unto an old garment, for that which is put in to fill it up taketh from the garment, and the rent is made worse." So here's the disciples of John. Now, in context, the Lord Jesus is with his disciples. He's in Matthew's house, and he's feasting, just as we did today. He's feasting and fellowshipping with the publicans and sinners and his disciples. He's in there in Matthew's house enjoying a meal and enjoying a fellowship, and there's nothing wrong with that. And so he's in there and he's eating and enjoying some fellowship. And then the disciples of John come along. John's in prison at this stage. The disciples of John come, and the Pharisees are there as well. And perhaps the Pharisees put the disciples of John up to this. I'm not sure. And perhaps they were their mouthpiece. Who knows? But the Pharisees and the disciples of John were there. And the disciples of John the Baptist come. They said, Now, Lord, why is it that we fast and the Pharisees fast, but you and your disciples don't? Now, it seems to me, as I read through that, you look at the language of it. I'll read it to you again. Then came to him the disciples of John, saying, "Why do we and the Pharisees fast oft, but thy disciples fast not?" You know, when someone comes and asks you a question, And you know it's a question that's not really a question, but it's rather a rebuke. Now, like, what are you doing that for? Why are you doing... Why is it that I do it this way and you do it that way? And you know what they're wanting to say is, you should be doing it like this. Right? Well, that's sort of like what the disciples of John, I feel, are doing. They're coming in and they're like, here you are feasting, and the Pharisees and I, and us lot, we fast often. How come you lot never fast? Why aren't you fasting? And the answer is, basically, it's not time to fast. That's what he says. Notice what he said. Jesus said unto them, can the children of the bridegroom, of the bride chamber, mourn as long as the bridegroom is with them? But the days will come when the bridegroom shall be taken from them, and then shall they fast. The Lord, the Messiah, had come. Jesus Christ was there in person with his disciples. It was a time for jubilee and rejoicing and feasting. It was not a time for fasting and mourning. He said that time will come. When the bridegroom is taken away, and he being the bridegroom, and his disciples being the children of the bride chamber, the time will come when the bridegroom is taken away and the marriage feast and jubilee is all done and you go about your normal life. Well, there was coming a day at Calvary and then the ascension into glory that Christ, their bridegroom, will be taken away. And when he's taken away, then, notice that at the end of verse 15, then shall they fast. So the time to fast is between the ascension and the coming of Christ again. That's now. The biblical time period to fast in regards to the church is the time period that we're in now. It is a time that we can enjoy as we did today. We can enjoy fellowship and we can feast and enjoy each other's company and fellowship around food and one another. But in amongst that, there is time periods in your life as a Christian that you ought to be fasting and you ought to be mourning over sin. You ought to be mourning over broken fellowship. You ought to be mourning over your lost loved ones that you're praying for. You ought to be fasting and disciplining your flesh and bringing it into subjection. That's part of being a Christian, is not being ruled by your fleshly appetites. Now, our fleshly appetites ruled us today, didn't they? I mean, our fleshly appetites just took hold of us and whipped us all around the ring. And we just filled up. Right? But there are times in the Christian's life that those fleshly appetites ought to be subdued, ought to be beat down and brought into subjection. And that time, when to fast? When should I fast? The bridegroom's been taken away. He's coming again, but he hasn't come yet. So there's a time of mourning and fasting and praying and laboring in that time period. Does that make sense? Okay. Go with me to Matthew chapter 25. So we're in that time now. There, we find fasting all through the Old Testament, and that was a time to fast through there. Messiah hadn't come; they were fasting, laboring, waiting, looking for the Messiah. But when he had come, the Lord Jesus said, he said, the reason my disciples don't fast is because I'm with them. But I'm going to be taken away one day. And then they will fast. Right? Notice 25 and verse 1. Then shall the kingdom of heaven be likened unto 10 virgins, which took their lamps and went forth to meet the bridegroom. and five of them were wise and five were foolish. They that were foolish took their lamps and took no oil with them, but the wise took oil in their vessels with their lamps. While the bridegroom tarried, they all slumbered and slept. Notice this. And at midnight there was a cry made, "Behold, the bridegroom cometh, go ye out to meet him." There is coming a day that the church of God here on earth will hear the cry of the bridegroom cometh. He's coming again. But until he comes again, it's a time to give ourselves to prayer, fasting, laboring, and serving God. Right? He's gone, but he's coming again. And when we hear the bride, that cry of the bridegroom, the bridegroom cometh, go with me to Revelation 19. So we're in a time of, the time period we're in regards to what we're looking at tonight, is a time of fasting and mourning and labouring. But you know, just as the disciples had their time of jubilee and their time of feasting and rejoicing, we have our time of jubilee on its way and our time of feasting. Revelation 19. And verse 1, "And after these things I heard a great voice of much people in heaven saying, Alleluia, salvation and glory and honour and power unto the Lord our God. For true and righteous are his judgments. For he hath judged the great whore, which did corrupt the earth with her fornication, and hath avenged the blood of his servants at her hand. And again they said, Alleluia, and her smoke rose up forever and ever. And the 24 elders and the 4 beasts fell down and worshipped God that sat on the throne, saying, Alleluia, Amen, Alleluia. And a voice came out of the throne, saying, Praise our God, all ye his servants, and ye that fear him, both small and great. And I heard, as it were, the voice of a great multitude, and as the voice of many waters, and as the voice of mighty thundering, saying, Alleluia, for the Lord God omnipotent reigneth. Let us be glad and rejoice and give honour to him, for the marriage of the Lamb is come, and his wife hath made herself ready." That's us, that's the church. "And to her was granted that she should be arrayed in fine linen, clean and white, for the fine linen is the righteousness of saints. And he saith unto me, Write, blessed are they which are called unto the marriage supper of the Lamb. And he saith unto me, These are the true sayings of God." So the disciples had their time of feasting and jubilee and rejoicing and feasting. We have our period and our time of fasting and praying and laboring. But there's a supper coming. There's a feast coming. There's a time of jubilation and rejoicing on its way. And that's at the wonderful marriage supper of the Lamb. So when do we fast now? Now's the time. You won't be fasting in heaven. There'll be no need to fast in heaven. You'll get to heaven and you'll wish you had a fasted down here. You wish you had a disciplined yourself some. You wish you had a reined that flesh in. You wish you had a fasted and prayed and got some victory over some spiritual enemies. Now's the time to gain the victories. Now's the time to pray for lost people. Now's the time to intercede on behalf of others. Now's the time to give, to pray, and to fast. If you're a Christian, it's the time to fast. Go with me to Revelation chapter 22 and verse 20. He which testifieth these things saith, Surely I come quickly. Amen. Even so, come, Lord Jesus. He is coming again. And he's not only just coming again, but he's coming quickly. I don't know when he's going to be here. You don't know when he's going to be here. I'm fairly confident that most of you that profess the name of Christ, that you give alms, that you give. You're involved in giving. I'm fairly confident that most of you are probably involved in praying. But are we involving ourselves in fasting? It's just as biblical as giving. It's just as biblical as praying. Fasting. When's the time to fast? If you're saved, it's time to fast now. Now's the time. In this period that we're in, giving ourselves to prayer and fasting, interceding on behalf of others. He's coming again quickly. If we don't get a hold of this, and I need to get a hold of it myself, if we don't get a hold of this thing properly, he'll be here and it'll be too late. Giving, praying, fasting. When do we fast? In this period that we're in. Now. Before Jesus comes back. Before he returns. All right, let's close in a word of prayer. Well, let me say this. I wrote this down and I better not let it go. I wonder, in regards to the Church of Christ, when he raptures his church, will he find a fasting, praying church, or will he find a fat, sleepy church? I think right now, if he raptured us, we'd be fat and sleepy, wouldn't we?